I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. If you are just tuning in with me on today's roundtable, Michael Fauntroy, Assistant Professor of Public Policy at George Mason University. He blogs at michaelfauntroy.com. Earl Dunavant from the blog Prometheus 6, and John McCann from the blog Book of John. We were just talking a little bit about Senator Hillary Clinton and the gender card. Now let's move on to Fred Thompson. Over the weekend, news broke that an advisor for the presidential candidate was reportedly a bookie and a drug dealer back in the 70s and 80s. His name is Philip Martin. And Thompson said he first learned of the criminal past on Saturday. Thompson said Martin had, quote, paid his debt to society, and he would not, quote, throw him under a bus because of the revelations. Martin raised more than $6 million for Thompson's campaign. So, John, is this going to hurt Thompson?
Hard to say. I mean, me personally, I'm not mad at Fred Thompson. I mean, leave Fred Thompson alone. Now, I question whether he just found out about his friend's criminal past. I question that if you've been friends for that long. But I like the fact that I like his loyalty. You know, we often hear about this in the black community, a la Michael Vick, where you're kind of hanging around with some of the, you know, the guys from the community, from the hood, so to speak. But, you know, as far as Fred Thompson still being with this guy, hey, if Fred Thompson becomes president and say, you know, Mr. Martin wants to come visit him in the Oval Office, hey, I don't have a problem with that as a taxpayer, as long as Fred Thompson didn't make the man put him in his cabinet and make him, you know, Commerce Secretary or Treasury Secretary or something like that. You know, it's all good. Just keep him away from the money.
Well, he's been close to the money, at least on the campaign side. Earl, what do you think? It's a question of loyalty, a question of propriety. What comes to mind for you?
History. I've been around. This guy got busted for 11 grams of cocaine. You just don't suddenly have 11 grams of cocaine. You've been involved in this for a while. It sort of offends me. I wasn't going to vote for Thompson anyway, so maybe it won't hurt him, okay? But me, I'm offended. I find that, I mean, I know a lot of guys who had a lot of talent, a lot of skill, a lot of intelligence, who got caught up in foolish games, went to jail, and were ruined, okay? This gentleman gets suspended sentences. He gets, it's just like, I'm sorry, you know, it really, really annoys me, okay? It's not going to disturb his presidential campaign. People who are willing to vote for him simply don't think in those terms. It never occurs to them that the person that they're voting for may be connected with somebody who may still be dirty. I mean, Bernie Kerik is still dirty as far as I'm concerned. All right?
You're talking about the former Giuliani advisor.
Yes. Okay. He still looks dirty to me. Okay. And people are still voting for Giuliani.
So let me go to Michael for a second. Let's just throw race in there. If this had been an Obama advisor, do you think there would have been a different situation?
I think Obama's campaign would be over right now.
Thank you.
Know, for me, this is a question of judgment. Either Fred Thompson knew and doesn't care, or didn't know. And if he didn't know, his friend didn't do him any favors. You know, it appears to me that this person, Philip Martin, has a long and colorful connection with the criminal justice system, dating back to 1977 when he was 19 years old and sold 11 pounds of marijuana to an undercover cop in Florida. You know, it just seems to me that this is a guy who's been dirty for years, and there's no reason to believe that that would change. And given that Thompson has known him for as long as he has, it's difficult to me to see that Thompson didn't at least suspect that there was something up with him. Now, as John indicated, the loyalty part needs to be commended. But at the same time, it seems to me that a friend would understand if he would cause his friend undue stress, which is what Philip Martin didn't do for his friend Fred Thompson.
John, do you think that that Thompson should return the money? There was a situation where you had the illegal bundling of campaign money that went to Senator Hillary Clinton. Regardless of whether or not this money was brought in legally, which it sounds like it is so far, do you think that because of the individual who brought it in, there should be some returning of the money, some other form of, I guess, saving face? Is that the right phrase?
Well, you know, I like what the Bible says. The Bible says avoid the appearance of evil. And so if there's any question about any type of impropriety, so, yeah, you know, give it up. And if that's called saving face, you know, so be it. But, you know, just avoid anything that even looks like funny business. I think you're better served at the end of the day.
Earl, what about this whole idea of guilt by association? Should there even be a question for not just Senator Fred Thompson, any other candidate, should they be asked to hold a high standard of who they keep around them? And how far should that go?
Well, they are. So they really need to recognize that. I think there should be some personal space. Okay, I do believe that it gets carried away at times, but you have to at least appoint the correct people in your cabinets. Okay, again, Giuliani is the best example, who actively promoted this person who had major, major legal problems. Okay, we can almost forgive Thompson if he didn't know. He may not. I mean, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. He didn't know, all right? But he's got to get rid of the guy.
All right, this is a speed round. All of you guys blog, and there has been an African-American blogger for the Indianapolis Star who was fired for a blog entry titled "The Indianapolis Black Democrat Minstrel Show." And the editors called the post offensive, apologized. When it comes down to something like blogging, which has so often been associated with not just taking positions, but taking strong and sometimes controversial positions, was this a leap too far? What do you think, Michael?
Well, I'm not sure that it was a leap too far, but independent bloggers have a bit more latitude in what they can write because they're only responsible to the people who read their posts, so to speak. I think that someone who is blogging for a news organization may have a little less of a leash, if you will, in that regard. So I'm not terribly surprised that this happened, although I will tell you I've seen and read far more harsh language on the internet, on blogs, and I'm not sure that this is necessarily such a condemnable offense.
John, do you think that's really the question? How much do you have independence? What venue do you choose?
Well, blogging is a lot like email in the sense that, hey, they always say be careful before you hit that send, but make sure, you know, you're really cognizant of what you're putting down. But was his firing too much? I think so, but I may get thrown under the bus for saying this, but if Don Imus gets fired for saying what he said, then, hey, you know, the rules are fair. Now, I don't think Don Imus should have gotten fired, but if it's good enough for Don Imus, then for the young man here, who seems to be a very brother who really, you know, was on top of his game, it's fair game if Don Imus was subject to that.
Earl, quickly, fair, unfair, who cares?
Actually, a little bit mixed because, I mean, like, Beck just got a huge contract. You've got
50
Imus.
Million.
Yes. I mean, the fact is that this level of language is acceptable under certain circumstances, and it's not when a black person talks about a black person in terms that no white person can use.
Okay? All right. Guys, we're going to have to go ahead and wrap it up there. John, Earl, Michael, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Talking to Michael Fauntroy, Assistant Professor of Public Policy at George Mason University, blogs at michaelfauntroy.com. Joined us from our Washington studios, also Earl Donovan, Prometheus 6, joined us from NPR studios in New York, and John McCann of The Book of John, joined us from member station WUNC in Durham, North Carolina.